Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, at the start of this new year, we bow once more in your holy presence, asking that your word would be our rule of life, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and your greater glory our supreme concern, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. From our readings this morning, we have the very clear theme that God has a call for all people. Life must go on. And after the celebration of Christmas, faith must go on. It must go on to behaviour, and it must go on to reflection. The birth of Jesus Christ was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. In his Gospel, Matthew points out throughout the Gospel that the events surrounding the birth, ministry, and death of the Messiah were foretold long ago in Scripture. In this story, Bethlehem is significant as it fulfills the prophecy of Micah. The birth of Jesus in Bethlehem was no accident. And nothing in our lives is an accident either, in that God is in control and guides and uses all events for his glory. Over the past year, 2005, there have been many happy times for us individually and as a congregation. And many good things have happened in our world, but we are very conscious that at this time last year the world was mourning. And in this country and in other countries we have had our times of sorrow, both because of the violence and destruction of men, but also because of natural disasters. Isaiah, in his book, in the third section of his writing, which comprises chapters 56 to 66, makes prophecies to the city of Jerusalem which are to apply after the nation's return from exile in Babylon. Now, Isaiah prophesies to the people there, "Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn." Because of God's goodness to Israel in returning the people from exile to the holy city, Jerusalem, Jerusalem is seen as the center of the earth, the focus of God's attentions in the world. And that theme is developed further in the psalm we read. Kings are not the only rulers of their people. They also represent them. So if kings come to visit and pay honor to the city, then the whole nation acknowledges its worth and beauty. It's a common feature of religious understanding that it's God himself who reveals himself to the group or to the individual. For the unaided individual, the unaided community, needs to have its darkened understanding enlightened. And the wise men who came to visit the infant Jesus came in response to something which was disclosed to them. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul understands this and presents the gospel to the Gentiles in this way. Paul is shown here as the great emissary, the apostle entrusted with the message of the Christ. The Spirit of God is the agent and director of Paul's mission. And the coming to, firstly, the city of Jerusalem, of the wise men from the east, is one of the major and the marvelous stories in Christian tradition. This remarkable story shows that when we are thinking about mission, God thinks about it and gets there first. For here we see that God is already at work in the lives of the three visitors from the east. In Christian art, these wise men are variously seen to be scholars, astrologers, magicians and kings. Christian tradition sees them develop to the point at which they come to represent all the nations, all ethnic groups, all parts of the earth. Their gifts are the gifts of wealthy nations. Only later did these gifts come to be associated with wealth, divinity, and embalming. Originally, they symbolized the high value of the gifts, which it is appropriate for us to offer to God. The gifts of the wise men show that they understood Jesus to be a king. They had the spiritual discernment to see that the infant in the manger was not just a baby. They clearly had a spiritual hunger to find out about the Messiah, and God met them where they were. The wise men needed spiritual discernment to see beyond the newborn baby to the Christ lying there. And we need to see him as king in the circumstances of our lives if we are to worship and serve him as well. Now, prior to their visit, God had spoken to Joseph in a dream, and now he speaks to the wise men through the stars. The prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament had a vision of God's glory which prepared him for service. God often prepares us and the people we talk to for what may seem to be chance encounters. At other times it may be when we stop trying to tell someone about Jesus that they see in our lives the truth that our words cannot express. We cannot always understand what God is doing, and so we should be ready for surprises. What was discovered? Well, discovering Jesus always produces a sense of joy and awe. When the wise men saw Jesus, they immediately knew he was no ordinary child. They were at once overjoyed and filled with a desire to worship him. Joy and awe go together. It was certainly the experience of the prophet Isaiah many years, centuries before Christ's birth. And this experience of joy and awe should be true for us today at the start of this new year. Encountering Jesus produces a response of joyful worship. Following the call of God, wherever it may lead, can be a risky thing to do. It was a risky journey these wise men began. They did not know where the star was leading them. They were not sure where the child was to be born. But they took that risk, beginning that journey and seeing it through to its fulfillment as they knelt in worship. And joining God in his missionary purposes is sometimes uncomfortable and sometimes difficult. It may even include opposition. Consider the danger that Mary and Joseph and Jesus faced from King Herod. The wise men were also made aware of the threat that Herod posed to them and were advised to choose a different route home. The disappearance of these wise men from the narrative is much swifter than their arrival. They have played their part in the story simply by responding to the star, by coming and by worshipping. T.S. Eliot's poem, The Coming of the Magi, has them no longer at ease in the old dispensation. They go back changed. The dream warning them not to return to Herod raises in our minds, in the light of Herod's intentions, the question as to whether they have come for a birth or for a death. This birth will issue in death, but that death will lead to eternal life. Eternal life for them, wherever they returned, and eternal life for us, wherever our turning points, and eternal life for all. The birth of Jesus shows how God works in ordinary, humble surroundings. In this story, the great drama of God's rescue plan was being played out in an ordinary village, in a stable, in a peasant family, and among some strangers from the east. And yet God was in that situation, changing the course of human history. Who knows at the start of this new year what God is doing in our lives and the life of our congregation? God's sense of greatness is not the same as our sense of fame or status. Amen.